Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Does raising kids have to be stressful? Is it really dangerous for babies to sleep with mom? Do chores have to be a fight? Over the next month, NPR travels around the world for ideas to make parenting easier. Weekend Edition looks at the way modern American parenting can serve to put mom in a box. Culturally, that is. Hidden Brain looks at the language of babies, from decoding a temper tantrum to research that shows grooving to music with babies somehow makes them more helpful. Tune in to Monday's Morning Edition, where a quick tour of sleeping babies around the world reveals something strange about the U.S. infants alone in cribs. For the first time in human history, parents are explicitly told not to sleep with their babies, that co-sleeping could kill the baby. Why? NPR's Micheline Duclef reports, and that's just the beginning of the NPR coverage that continues into June. Well, South Dakota Public Broadcasting wants to bring those conversations home to South Dakota. Where better to start than with the sometimes maddening topic of babies and sleep? So, bleary-eyed parents, wake up. Help is on the way. Joining us for the conversation is Sanford pediatrician Dr. Laura Whittington. Dr. Whittington, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How many myths are there about how babies should sleep in the first place? Let's start with some of those, you know, unreasonable expectations or that you hear parents ask about all the time.
There are numerous myths that we hear in clinic. Of course, the biggest ones are, how much sleep should their baby be getting and when will they sleep through the night?
Right.
So, of course, as a newborn, babies are going to sleep a lot. So they're going to sleep 16 to 20 hours a day, and most of the time they're just awake to feed. As they get older, of course, they're going to sleep less and less, but still, between 4 to 12 months of age, they're still going to sleep 12 to 16 hours a day. One of the other
things. That's not all at once, though. So, when parents are sort of, almost desperate to have the baby sleep through the night, what exactly is sleeping through the night? How many hours do you count as a victory?
Of course, that is going to vary by parents' expectations.
Right.
But even sleeping 5 to 6 hours through the night, we would consider for a baby sleeping through the night.
Right.
And then we don't expect them to technically sleep through the night until they're around 6 months or older.
Right. Is there a difference between babies who are breastfed versus formula-fed babies as far as their sleep patterns, or is it just dependent on the baby?
We have seen that formula-fed babies can go a little bit longer. So usually we tell parents that are formula feeding, every 3 to 4 hours, especially as a newborn, they should be waking up. Whereas breastfed babies is, 2 to 3 hours waking up and being fed. So usually formula-fed babies do sleep a little longer, especially initially. But as they get older, it doesn't tend to matter whether they're breastfed or formula-fed.
Right. I put some questions on Facebook about and said that you were coming to the show. We were going to talk about babies and sleep. And as you can imagine, a lot of parents chipped in with comments from, sort of throwing up their arms and screaming and saying, this is a very stressful thing for me, to people saying, I can get the baby to sleep, but getting them to stay asleep is the real problem. And then a lot of sort of awareness of how parents are judged based on, the expectations of parenting. So when we talk about sleep, we're talking about more than sleep in some ways.
Definitely. Of course, you want to talk about sleep hygiene, things that you're doing before, your baby or infant is falling asleep.
Sure.
You don't want to have, be having the TV on, because that's going to stimulate, even as a baby, it's going to stimulate their brain and make them not want to sleep as well. And kind of having those cues, keeping the room dark, having the same routine, whether it's, having a bath every single night. And if they're older, of course, if they're brushing their teeth every night, that they get into a habit where they're like, oh, this is actually what I'm supposed to do right before I go to bed, and it gets their body ready to go to sleep.
And then the notion of sort of keeping them to sleep. Talk about the room itself. Are there things that you can do to sort of, once you get the baby down, to sort of let them stay, you know, sleeping? Is that what's happening there? They're waking up and then, or waking themselves up and then not being able to go back? What's happening there?
So at night, you definitely want to keep the room fairly dark. Even if they are waking at night to feed, you want those feeds to be very short, kind of straight and to the point. You don't want to be turning lights on and stimulating them and not talking to them as well, just to keep it quiet. And then when they're done feeding, putting them back to sleep. For older infants, kind of same thing, keeping the room dark. Some babies do like to have a little bit of like background noise or white noise. So they do make white noise machines that you can buy just to have that kind of going in the background. And then kids older than 6 months of age, you can actually let them kind of cry it out. That also depends on the parent's comfort level with that.
Sure. Sure. What exactly does that mean? So, like, how much crying is, you know, letting them cry it out, and how much is, you know, how do you sort of balance that? And how do you do it? I mean, how do you encourage, it's not just leaving them alone and letting them cry, right? I mean, there's a technique to that?
Mm-hmm. So, there is. I mean, you definitely want to kind of, you know, get to know your child and get to know their different cries. Most of the time, parents can kind of recognize if their child is hurt, kind of that different cry. And of course, if there's something going on that you're concerned about, you definitely want to go in and check on them. But if they're whining and crying a little bit, it is okay to, you know, stay in your bedroom or stand outside the door and just let them cry. And then, of course, it does depend on parents' comfort level as to how long. No baby has ever, you know, cried themselves to death or, you know, gotten injured by crying. And after 6 months of age, there's not a correct time frame. It just depends on parents'
sure.
comfort level.
How about the opposite? If there's a parent who says, you know, that's just not for me, and I, when they cry, I'm going to pick them up and soothe them. Is that necessarily working against the child in any way? Is that just a different style of parenting where, you know, this is how I want to handle it?
Yeah. It definitely makes it so that infant is not developing kind of the coping mechanisms that we would like them to develop. They will get there. It just might take that parent longer for their child to sleep through the night.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about when you have people coming in, parents coming in, they're, you know, there's a lot going on. Maybe they're new parents. Maybe they are sleep deprived at this point. Are you seeing them making a bigger connection to where they feel as if, you know, if my kid doesn't sleep through the night, that I'm not a good mom, or that are they making a sort of broader statement about that? Do you find yourself talking parents through larger cultural issues in the clinic?
Definitely. We definitely talk about, you know, every child is different. Children will sleep through the night at different stages. And just because, you know, their friend's child is doing, you know, is sleeping through the night at 6 months of age, that doesn't necessarily mean that their child is going to sleep through the night at 6 months of age. And they might, you know, we talk about what they're doing and, you know, ways that they can try to get their child to sleep through the night, but also recognizing, you know, yeah, you probably are not doing anything wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
Reassuring them that, you know, they have to make it work for their family as well, and they can't judge themselves based on what other people's children are doing.
Right. Could there be something wrong with the baby, though? I remember my daughter is, she's a teenager now, but thinking back to her as an infant, I mean, that kid cried all night long. I mean, it was a constant, and I, you know, I was one of those parents. I picked her up. I held her. I lost a lot of sleep. But now when I look back, I think, could she have had a food allergy? Could there have been something else going on that I should have talked to the doctor about that I didn't? Now that I've survived and I've had a good night's sleep, I'm starting to think about these things. Is it possible there's something's wrong with the baby?
So there definitely is that possibility. And so bringing your children in for those routine well visits and just talking with your doctor about, you know, about their sleep habits, about what they're, you know, doing, about how they're developing, you know, bringing up any concerns that you have at those visits, which will help your child's physician, you know, determine if we need to look any further to see if there's something else going on.
Sure. Let's talk about co-sleeping, as I've not heard what NPR is going to do next week about co-sleeping. Sure. And looking around the world and finding out different, you know, different methods of doing it. But it's certainly, we've talked about the Back to Sleep program on this mm-hmm. show, and statistics about, you know, infant deaths. It's pretty scary and stark. Should we be talking about co-sleeping, or is that something that should has become taboo in American culture?
So as the American Academy of Pediatrics, we recommend kind of co-rooming and not co-sleeping. So co-rooming, having your baby sleep in the same room that you are sleeping in, but not sharing the same bed. So looking at, you know, putting the crib or bassinet, pack and play, in the parent's room, having the baby sleep in that same room so you can keep a closer eye on them. But we do not recommend having them sleep in bed with you.
Right.
If you look at statistics, I mean, in the U.S., you know, along with immunizations and medical care, the kind of the highest cause now of infant death, one of the higher causes is, you know, SIDS. And one of the ways to prevent that is to not share a bed with your baby.
So, Dr. Wayington, go over the basics then. What's best for babies in sleep then for safety?
So the best thing for babies is to sleep alone by themselves on their back. Things that are approved for infants to sleep in include cribs, pack and plays, and bassinets. We don't recommend having them sleep in the little chairs or the rock and plays that have them a little bit elevated. They should be flat on their back. And then we don't recommend having anything with them. So no blankets, no stuffed animals, just keeping their sleep environment actually pretty boring.
Yeah. Are there things that you can do during the day? Does that, you know, daytime behavior somehow help the separation and the transition into sleep?
So during the day, if you can get their naps to be in kind of that like crib or pack and play, whatever you have for them to sleep in, rather than letting them, you know, lay on you while they're sleeping or, you know, be in a rock and play when they're sleeping, if you can transition those nap times to a crib, it will help them sleep better at night and go to bed easier at night.
Okay, I didn't do that, I'll tell you. I just, you know, you're so tired, I just remember conking out, you know, with the baby in the rocking chair in the sling on mm-hmm. the couch. Not safe behavior. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying that, you know, you have to pay attention when you are sleep deprived at the choices that you make as well. There's a message in there for parents, I'm sure.
It is definitely easier as a parent when you are sleep deprived just to, you know, sit with your baby and take a little nap, or, you know, lay down on the couch with them and take a nap. However, it is not the safest thing to be doing with your baby.
Right. So I'm looking at these Facebook comments again. There's one question about night terrors kind of going on into those, you know, early childhood years. What exactly is a night terror?
So a night terror is similar to a nightmare. However, a night terror, toddlers and children, they will not wake up during this night terror. So what usually happens is, usually it's around the same time every night. This child will, I mean, it seems like they're waking up, but they'll just start screaming. Sometimes they're, you know, flailing their arms, kicking their legs. And you will go in their room, and there is no calming them down. They're not truly awake, and so you cannot truly comfort them because they don't really know that you're there. And it's that's right. What makes it hard is that there's nothing that you can really do as far as the night terror other than trying to give them some time and make sure they're safe. And then once that night terror is over, usually they lay right back down and they're back asleep and they do not remember anything the next morning.
Hmm. What causes that?
That is a wonderful
question. Yeah, we don't know.
Not really. No.
Okay. Well, do they go away on their own or are there things that
they
you have
do.
To do? They do, eventually. No. Oh, that's it. That's so, brutal on the parents as well.
Yeah. Hmm. So usually by the time, you know, 6 to 8 years old, night terrors are just going away on their own.
Yeah.
If children are having them every single night, and if you can kind of say, oh, at, you know, midnight, every single night, they're going to have a night terror, sometimes going into their room and kind of, like, gently patting their back or, you know, like rubbing their legs a little bit. You don't want to fully wake them up, but if you interrupt that sleep cycle, sometimes that will actually prevent them from getting the night terror.
All right. Let's go over some of the, you know, takeaways for today before we let you go. So baby to sleep on their back in a crib, same room is okay, but same bed is statistically proven to be dangerous. So don't do that.
Correct.
Nothing in the crib with them. Good sleep hygiene, which is similar to really for us for all ages, but keep that in mind for babies too, which is funny because I remember a baby class where they told us, you know, just vacuum or do whatever. You know, so your baby will be used to the noise, but, you know, maybe not at 10 o'clock at night. You're not vacuuming anyway.
So. During the day, certainly. By
yes, okay.
Do that. At night, try to keep things quiet.
Try to keep things quiet at night. And then just give yourself a break and not, you know, worry so much about this idea of having this done perfectly. And talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
What else? What'd I miss?
Exactly.
Oh,
that sounds right.
It's a good beginning. Dr. Laura Whittington, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.